Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. If you're listening live on Blog Talk Radio or Omega Radio, we are live right now and on YouTube. I want to welcome all of our friends out there that are tuning in as well. And I want to begin by reading something that may shake you on this Monday morning, but here it is. I feel the hot displeasure of the Lord. I sense his wrath and indignation against those who have been indignant against him and those who belong to him. I will keep silent no more, says the Lord, as I pour out my wrath upon the nations. I will keep silent no more as I shake the foundations of the earth. I will keep silent no more as I shut the door to the ark of my safety and loose the fires of purification and judgment. I will keep silent no more, waiting for those who call themselves by my name, try to organize themselves. I will move sovereignly against the will of men and angels, and I will work my work without the help of any man. I say to all the earth, be silent before me. Let no man open his mouth, and let no man utter words from his lips, for the lips of men are filled with deceit. I will speak through those who have been sanctified by my words. Hear now the word of the Lord. No longer pray for the nations. No longer mourn for the lost. No longer wait for the wicked to turn, for I have shut the doors of opportunity. Wait no more for the harvest of souls to come in, for I tell you that all who have been appointed to life have already entered in. No longer weep for the sinners, for I am pouring my wrath out upon all who sin, beginning with the sinners within my camp. No longer tolerate that which is abominable, for I will tolerate it no more. No longer be led by your feelings, emotions, and ways, for I tell you that mine are higher than yours. No longer plan the path of your feet, for I am taking away all paths and will leave only one to follow. Death, destruction, defeat. Yes, I am pouring out my wrath to destroy. I am come to wound the conscience of those who hate me and those who choose not the fear of the Lord. I am come to awaken the righteous to judgment and sinners to everlasting shame and contempt. O slumbering nation, fat with the wool of the sheep, your time has come to be held accountable And I come to undo all your plots and plans. I will uncover your theme and scheme and show the wretchedness of your ways. I will reveal the hidden agenda and put a stop to the manipulation. But many, I say many, will awaken too late and will not be able to find their way back. These shall be lost in eternal flames of darkness and torment. These will have lost their opportunity for life. These shall taste the everlasting flames of destruction, and their worm shall never die, because they did not choose the fear of the Lord, nor have they repented of their ways. These shall inherit the wind and will bring the whirlwind upon themselves. Now is the time, and it will be delayed no more. Surely the eyes of this generation shall see these things come to pass. Now, that may not be the way that we want to begin a Monday morning radio broadcast, but these are still the words of the Lord. These are still God's words. They've been in the book from the beginning of time. Everything that I just read to you has already been fulfilled in generations past us, generations before us. And we believe that these eternal words of God are for every generation, where God separates the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats, okay? And so, again, we cannot just put the book away because we've stuck our finger up in the air and after licking it and see which way the wind is blowing. Too often, men and women of God have done exactly that. They've wanted to see which way the wind is blowing, and then they got into the current of that wind, and they began to flow with that. But God here is steadfast. In our generation, I believe, we too must be steadfast in the proclamation of what God has said will be. And when you go back to the beginning of this particular generation, you may say this generation began when Israel was reformed as a nation in 1948. And then you could say in 1967, when they established themselves through the Six-Day War, each one of those represent a generational time period. There's no doubt about that. And you and I are living within the context of this final generation, since the fig tree has blossomed once again, so to speak. You have read the parable of the fig tree. You probably are aware of what we're talking about. We live in a generation that has a tremendous amount to do with the economy of heaven. I mean, we are the witnesses of the technological explosion, Israel becoming a nation again. And since the beginning of this generation, we have seen things happen in our world that were probably unpredictable in the 1940s and the 1950s and even in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Nobody would have really dreamed that we would be where we are as a nation and where the nations of the earth really are at this point. And what is that? Further away from God than we've ever dreamed. And yet we maintain that we are the people of the book, that we have the temple, nothing bad will ever happen to us. And so when the wind blows in another direction and we start to feel the warmth and the goodness and the times, you know, we just kind of go, well, let's go in that direction today. I don't believe that's accurate. I believe that God's people, those watchmen that are out there, those true voices of God that have witnessed the terrible turning away from God in our generation, would not for a moment venture to get into their emotions or feelings and begin to proclaim something other than what God has spoken. And I do believe that that wrath, that that judgment, that God is not a big bully. I don't believe that. I don't believe that our words justify him at all. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe we're here to misrepresent God, because he does have wrath and he does have anger and he is going to pour out his wrath. It is written in the word of God and he's done it before, i.e. Sodom and Gomorrah, i.e. the days of Noah. We are living right now in the days of Noah. Jesus said in his days, in the last days, it will be like the days of Noah. Things that were happening in the days of Noah are happening upon the earth right now. Men's conduct in what they have done in the mass murder of the most innocent blood, for example, and the promotion of homosexuality and lesbianism and the sexual revolution speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are warned twice in the New Covenant that anybody that follows the example of Sodom and Gomorrah will suffer the same judgment. And we also have heard that a house divided cannot stand. And again, this is a glaring witness to us And we are literally witnessing a house divided up in Washington, D.C. as the impeachment inquiries continue today under Nadler. We've never seen such a divisive upper echelon within our government. I've never witnessed it. I don't think you have ever witnessed it. The nations of the world are witnessing it. And it is a horrible conflict, but it's speaking to us. It's a sign. The collapse is coming because a house divided cannot fall. America is divided. So we're witnessing all these things. Sodom and Gomorrah running rampant within our society. The days of Noah are here, and a house divided cannot stand. And we could go on and on and on about the different things happening. So these are the consequences of a person or a nation walking away from God. So what we have been doing for years now, what you've been doing, what I've been doing, we've been studying, we've been reading, we've been prophesying, we've been searching, we've been seeking to know, what time is it? What time is it in the economy of heaven? What time is it in the economy of God? What are we looking at when we look through the biblical lens at what's happening in our world today and how we are interpreting the events that we see? And what do we need to do? Go through it again and again, and which is not grievous for me at all. And I think it's safe for us to remember as we enter into a season of quote-unquote Christmas, and this is the time where here in America everybody gets warm and friendly, and there's the hearth and the wreath and all these niceties and the music and the sound, and believe me, I understand that. I appreciate it so much myself, but not to the turning away of the reality, because right beneath that is a constant that's been going on in our nation for a long time. Particularly, and let's just run through it for a moment. How much blasphemy do we see in our television? How much blasphemy do we hear over the airwaves? How much blasphemy? And when I say blasphemy, I'm talking about the outright, in-your-face mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would love to do a documentary one time about every sitcom, every television program, every movie that has blasphemed the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Hollywood elite who have taken to themselves the... Yes, darling? On Omega, we're not there? Okay, we should be fine. I'll put it on here. Let's see if we're broadcasting. I'll do a little timeout here to see if we're going through. Test, test, 1, 2. Test, test, 1, 2. Okay, so let's get to Omega Radio and find out why that would not be happening right now. Test, test, 1, 2 on Omega Radio. Looks like we're there. We should be fine. All right. All right, so that's all. So again, if we were to do a documentary on how much blasphemy has come forth out of the belly of the beast in Hollywood, I don't think we would have an ending of the sound bites in our generation. I mean, Jesus Christ, God, you know, all the not only that, but the homosexual mockery, the violent mockery. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And that's just the mockery. That's just the blasphemy. That is just the perversion of things. And then, of course, the outright attack against Christianity going on in our country, the turning of things in another direction. So when you stand back and you look at what is really happening in our world, where actual laws that once protected the psyche of a society have been replaced with laws that now advocate with what God condemns. I mean, what is that? What is that when you actual lawmakers from the judiciary, from the Supreme Court of the United States have turned the laws of morality and the laws to protect what is natural psychologically, now we promote laws in our society, regardless who the Supreme Court is today. We're talking about 40, 50 years of this kind of blasphemy, this kind of antichrist behavior. And now are we to believe that the way things are in our society and the way things are around the world, that because we have a new president and we have new judiciary going into the Supreme Court and we're replacing judges on the bench, that God is just going to wink at the rebellion of this entire generation? I don't believe so. I believe that God, in all of the maneuvering, you see, even with the new Supreme Court justices, even with the 150 new judges on the benches, which is all good, and even with our new president, Donald J. Trump, we still are murdering, mass murder, innocent blood in the womb. We're still marrying men and men and women with women. And what we're doing is we're waiting for the future for somebody to change these laws. And yet we know that the volatility of our society is, if that were to happen, the left would go absolutely berserk. They would go insane. We would see Antifa and ISIS combined times a thousand of the violent rage that we see coming out of this horrible thing. So if conservatism, if the far right were to have its way and to promote these laws, do you think that our society would become stable and everybody would just cooperate? I highly doubt it. As a matter of fact, you saw the signs in the 2016 election. And so we are still committing the same crimes that we've been committing all along, that the prophets have been telling us this is what's drawing the wrath of God against us. And so I don't think we have the afforded luxury of pretending that the words of God's judgment and wrath have simply gone away. I don't believe that for a second, and I don't think you should believe that for a second. I do believe that those who are righteous are going to remain righteous. They need to remain righteous. Those who are doing what is right before God need to continue to do what is right before God, regardless of what happens within our society. And we are not going to see an end of what we saw on Friday. Again, a terrorist attack with over 100 FBI agents right now, you know, investigating what happened in Pensacola, Florida, when a Saudi Arabian was on the base and murdered three military personnel. I mean, why 100 FBI agents? Because the rabbit hole goes very deep if you want to know the truth. And there are snares and there are gins and there are traps and there are explosives under the feet. And there has been a societal collapse already underway beneath our feet. And the columns that once upheld our society have been shaken to such a degree. We knew this years ago, but we just wondered, how long is it going to take for the columns to actually collapse? And we are just up here on the surface level, kind of walking, ignoring the fact that those hidden columns that we just think are going to be there forever are going to be there forever. But those columns are deteriorating. Why? Because there's only one foundation that is going to stand in the time of shaking. And I think that's very important to understand. So we want to stand in the time of shaking. Okay. And so I want to look at a few verses about the great shaking. I will shake the heavens, right? And so let's take a look at a few verses. And Isaiah chapter 13:13, isn't that a pretty number? Isaiah chapter 13:13, let's take a look at what the prophets have told us in times past, and then again, what we're going to see in these last days. So here we read out of Isaiah chapter 13, verse 13. It begins with, "Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger." So Isaiah knew what it was to understand the anger of the Lord, the fierce anger of the Lord, the wrath of the Lord, and he understood this idea of the shaking. And so if we were to take this and say, remember what 13 began with, therefore, well, what was before that? Well, let's go all the way back to verse 6, Isaiah 13:6, or let's go to Isaiah 13:5. "They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint and every man's heart shall melt. Now, that is consistent with Luke chapter 21, that men's hearts will fail them for fear of what they see coming upon the earth. So the day of the Lord has been many times in the past, in the history, and it is also something that is being set up for the last days. And when you talk about the end times, when you talk about the last days, I could go back in history and show you many day of the Lord scenarios like we're reading out of Isaiah right now. And we would say, my God, that has already happened. And yet we know it's in the future. And then we know that there is a final day of the Lord. There is a final great tribulation. There has been great tribulation before, but Jesus promised a great tribulation that has never been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be again. And we've been witnessing great tribulations in the world at different times, but now we are living at the end of the end of the end of the ages, and the world is set up while Israel is a nation. And if you really follow Bible prophecy, you realize that everything concerning God's prophecy is always involving Israel as a nation. That's why when you search out the empires of the world, you always have to find the empires that existed while Israel was a nation. And we know that Egypt, for example, was an empire when Israel was a nation. They were a nation within a nation, but they were a nation. And then we know that when you get to the Assyrian Empire, Israel was a nation. When you get to the Medo-Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, all these empires existed while Israel was a nation. Now, Israel disappeared after the Roman Empire debacle in 70 AD, but reappeared in 1948. So we ask ourselves, well, who's the empire of the world today while Israel is a nation? And what Bible prophecy is connected to these last times while Israel is a nation? Well, here we have again, in verse 7, therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. Here's the woman in travail prophecy, right? And they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Obviously, something like 9/11, 2001, when the cameras picked up the fleeing people who were terrified at the collapse of the Twin Towers, obviously something of that magnitude was happening back here in Isaiah's prophecy. And what is waiting to be fulfilled in this world is going to create the same kind of terror. Obviously, people are going to be, what does it say? The hands will be faint, every man's heart melt. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. They're going to look in horror at one another. Behold, verse 9, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. You know, this is a very powerful judgment. And you have to ask yourself, what were the people of Israel doing in that time? Or what were the people doing? What were these sinners doing? Were they doing worse than what we are doing today? Were they worse than what the nations of the world are doing today? Listen, there's only one Judeo-Christian nation on the face of the earth, and that is the United States of America. And between our Judeo-Christian ethic and our foundation, we know better than the rest of the nations of the world. That's why our judgment is more severe. So what are we doing? Are we doing anything like they did, that would draw the wrath of God? Or do we think that somehow God has changed his mind, that nations before us that committed the same kind of sins and blasphemy against him, they deserved a different judgment because we're under a new covenant, we don't get the same judgment? If you believe that, you really do need to keep studying and read the Bible, because if that's true, then Revelation 16 could never come to pass, if that were true. But it's not true. In fact, the Apostle Paul told us to read the prophets, to read the Old Testament, to learn not to follow their ways, because we would get the same judgment as they did. And again, that is why Peter and Jude wrote that anybody follows the example of Sodom and Gomorrah is going to suffer the same penalty as Sodom and Gomorrah. The days of Noah are going to show up again in the last days. You cannot exclude Old Testament counsel. This is God's word. This is who God is. The only thing that has changed are the covenants, the covenant of the law, the covenant of grace. You and I are accessible to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But that doesn't exclude or mean that God has changed. He never changes. Now, again, in verse 9, it talks about to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So the sinners are going to be destroyed out of the land. And then verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Well, you pick that up in Revelation chapter 6. You see that in Matthew 24, Mark 13. A lot of this imagery, a lot of these words have everything to do with the new covenant of what Jesus said would be in the last days and what the book of Revelation actually prophesies will be in the last days. So we're learning about these things. Now, do you think maybe we've committed the same sins as the sinners that were in the days of Isaiah? Folks, I can't imagine that they've done anything worse than us. Most likely, our Judeo-Christian nation has probably done more horrible sins than theirs. Why? Because like it says in Hebrews, that we have trampled the blood of the Son of God under our feet by treating the covenant with as much disrespect as we have. And we, the people of God, have allowed the people of this nation to bring our nation to such blasphemy. I mean, what we see in our society that should make us blush, we don't even blush at anymore. We're just waiting for our best life now kind of theology. But let's go on just a bit, because he says in verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. The wicked are not going to go unpunished. The world is not going to go unpunished for the evil that is committed against God. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. You see, I'm in a position right now where it wouldn't surprise me if a nuclear bomb went off in Washington, D.C. today. It wouldn't surprise me to see dirty bombs going off in cities all over this country today. It wouldn't surprise me, because I know that this collapse is going to happen because I trust that God's word is true. And when Jesus said a house divided cannot stand, I believe he's showing us right now this nation will not stand against the powers that are being brought against it, because they hate us with a passion. And that hatred is demonic, but God is allowing it to happen because we have blasphemed God so terribly in our generation. In our society, we have put his son to an open shame. We have allowed Hollywood to continue to blaspheme and mock the holy name of God. Our internet screens are filled with it. The world is filled with it. There's a big dance party going on against the Lord, and many of God's people have begun to dance to the beat. This is a really harsh thing to say, but listen to verse 11 again. I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. And then we get back to verse 13 again. Therefore, I will shake the heavens and the earth and shall remove out of her place. The earth is literally going to be moved out of her place. What does that mean? What kind of a shaking would actually cause the earth to tilt, that would cause the earth to wobble? Is it a cometary impact, some comet that will impact the earth? Is it an asteroid or a meteorite? What is it that would create a wobble? I've heard that our Earth's axis has been tilted before to a certain mathematical degree. And is it possible that God has set the world up right now to shake the heavens and the earth once again? And here's the terrible thing about shaking the heavens. Not only are all of those satellites up there in space going to be shaken out of their place, but so will the comets in the Oort belt or the asteroids or the meteorites. And when you get into description about all of these things, you realize that God doesn't need any man-made weapon on this earth or needs to employ anybody on this earth. That God's weapon of choice is a comet, is an asteroid, is a meteorite. I mean, the Word of God tells us the stars of heaven are going to be falling towards the earth. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth. There's going to be things going on in the heavens above. And one massive asteroid, there's one out there right now that by the year 2029, according to Thomas Horn, is supposed to make such a very close sweep by this planet, it's supposed to shake everything. But maybe 2029 is a little bit too far off. And maybe we're not really preparing. This world's not seeing. But here's something that God says, the heavens, he's going to shake the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Can you imagine what happens in an earthquake? When earthquakes happen and people are in them, and I'm reminded of the Indonesian earthquake that produced a tsunami that killed 300,000 people in December of 2004. I'm reminded of that because nobody really knows what caused the earth to shake to such a degree that created that tsunami that in 1 hour, 300,000 people died. I mean, that's a lot of people in an hour because something did it. They don't know if it was an underground earthquake that was by a harp machine. They don't know if it was an asteroid or a comet that struck the sea. Who would know? Who would know? Anybody that would have seen it was killed in the event. And if NASA is lying to us and they don't want to tell us what's really going on in the skies above our head, we are the most unsuspecting people on the planet. And yet God tells us in his word that these things are ready to happen. They've happened before. They're going to happen again. Well, let's go a little bit further in this. Let's check this out just a little bit more. Another passage of scripture is found in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. And here's what we read. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Well, let me ask you a question. If we were to turn our attention to the scriptures and we were to go to Revelation chapter 8 for just a moment, and we're reading here a prophecy by the prophet Haggai concerning, I am going to shake, he says, a little while, and I will shake, what? I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Do we have any evidence in the book of Revelation of that kind of a shaking? Well, when you read in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, and I just want to read, the first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. There's an earth-shaking event. And again, what is that hail mingled with blood? Many people, according to a geologist friend of mine, Dr. Jeffrey Goodman, who wrote The Comets of God, these are comets. This is an asteroid shower. This is a meteorite shower. This is comets, space rock coming into our atmosphere that's going to strike the earth. And you talk about a shaking of the earth. Well, there it is. You have that happening. And then in the second angel sounded, there was a great mountain burning with fire and it was cast into the sea. So here is a massive asteroid or a massive comet or meteorite striking the sea. That's going to shake the sea. And that's what we're seeing right now in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. And then, of course, you do see in the next two angels sounding in Revelation chapter 8 that there's a star called Wormwood, and that star, again, is a comet, okay, called Wormwood. And what does it do? It strikes the fountains of waters and the streams and the rivers. And then the fourth angel, listen to this. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars. That's a celestial event. So we have a earth event, a sea event, a celestial event, and a water supply event right there in Revelation chapter 8. So getting back to Haggai 2, again, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. So the beautiful side of the shaking of the heavens and the earth is God is going to fill his house with glory. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. The unfortunate thing about the earth shaking, and by the way, let's just take a real good look at the word shake. It is the ra'ash, and it just means like an earthquake. It means to undulate as the earth, the sky, also a field of grain, particularly through fear, and is literally talking about an earthquake, shake, make to tremble, to shake, to tremble, to be moved, to be shaken. I mean, this is all the Hebrew in this. So we're not talking about something light. We're talking about a violent agitation. Let's go a little bit further and look at one more passage of scripture in Haggai 2:21. It says basically the same thing. God says, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will shake the heavens and the earth. But now I want to go to Joel chapter 3. And this is very important. Joel chapter 3, again, another prophecy. And it's written this way. In Joel 3:16, the Lord shall also roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Praise the living God. All right, so in the time of shaking, the Lord will be the hope of his people. I have hope, I have faith, and I have love in my heart. And you have faith, and you have hope, and you have love in your heart. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13 that these three remain: faith, hope, and love. That is what we have left right now, ladies and gentlemen, is faith, hope, and love. Faith to continue on in the promises of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Faith to believe and trust and cling to Jesus Christ. Faith to move mountains. Faith to operate in the power of the kingdom of God. Faith to believe in the shedding of the blood. Faith to believe in the resurrection of the Messiah. Faith to believe that God is for us and not against us when we honor him and obey him and walk with him. Yes, we have faith to believe every promise of God. Faith to believe that we are actually designed to shake the earth, to prophesy, to speak to the shaking like the prophet Elijah did when he shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. Faith to bring drought. Faith to bring famine. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to shake the earth? To wake up the people of the planet to the reality that not all is well. And souls that are dying to the tune of 56 million this past year. 56 million people died. Where did they go? Is there enough shaking in the earth? Are the inhabitants of the earth awakened yet to the reality of the times? Has the Bible shown itself to the world that these prophecies are real? Folks, the word of God must come to the ears and eyes of the people of the world. They must see it now. I'm not saying they're all going to respond favorably, but I do believe that the scriptures are clear that many people are going to turn to the Lord when they see these horrible events, 9/11, 2001. We were told in New York City that every church in New York City was packed out and overflowing after 9/11/2001. You've heard the story. And then about 6 weeks later, they were emptied out again because the churches did not show the world the biblical reality of what was going on in the world. And so the governmental powers and propaganda took over. Let's go shopping and get the economy going again. And then let's go get those bad guys. And yet we didn't recognize that the judgment was on us because we're the bad guys. Nobody told the truth, and so the church is emptied out. And now, who knows what's going on? And now again, the earth is ready to shake. The earth is going to shake. What is going to shake it? God knows what's going to shake it. He could put his finger on it, and it could shake. He could send military powers. He could produce nuclear bombs and allow people to, you know, push the button. Or he could send a asteroid, a comet, a meteorite into our world and shake it. But it's going to shake. To that, there is no doubt. But listen to this. God is going to be the hope of his people. All right? That's the most important thing. Now, we're told also in the book of Hebrews, and we're told in Matthew, Mark, Luke, we're told in so many different places that the shaking is going to take place. In fact, let's go to a scripture here in the book of Hebrews. I know you know it already, but here's the admonition. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, and here's what it says. Verse 28, wherefore, well, let's get, again, beyond the wherefore, okay? Let's get all the way to verse 25, Hebrews 12, 25. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, speaking of Moses, by the way, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So God is speaking. Verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Once more, this is going to happen. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Are you going to be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord? Yes, you're going to be alive and remaining because you're building your life upon the foundation of the rock, which is Christ, that cannot be shaken. Watch this. Verse 28, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, what are the scriptures talking about again? Jesus said in Matthew, that he who hears these words of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his life upon the rock. And when the winds blew and the floods came and beat upon the house, it did not fall because it was built upon a rock. The only way to survive the times, the place where we grow in our faith and our hope and our love, is to continue to do what the Word of God says to do. Now, I'm proclaiming what I believe the Bible says consistently, not with the shifting of the winds of man's emotions or what's going on in the news today, or believing because it's Christmas time that all of a sudden things change. No, we're not going to do that. We need to find our faith, hope, and love every day in this life, in ourselves, and in Christ Jesus, regardless of what the calendar events are of the moment. The fact of the matter is that the world is set up to be shaken once again, and everything in Bible prophecy says it will be shaken. Now, that is pretty dramatic. I mean, that is pretty awesome, but it is the truth, and it is God's word, and we should not be caught off guard by getting distracted or just saying, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. No, what we should be doing is preparing. Guess what? There are people in the world today that are building, maybe in China, maybe in India, maybe in other places around the world, smart cities that are being built and prepared for a cometary impact on this earth. There are people that are building to survive. You remember the great movie 2012 when they built those arcs at the end of the movie to be able to get in those ships, so that when everything finally hit, they would be a surviving community of people? Well, listen, the survival of God's people will be based upon their ability to not be shaken or moved by the winds of doctrine, by the ploys of men, by the deception of our times, by yielding our spiritual life to mediocre things. Now is the time genuinely to press in, keep studying, keep praying, keep seeking the face of God, keep working out your salvation with fear and trembling, Keep allowing the Spirit of God to do a work in your life. Break the chains, break the bondages, break the curses. Get in there, go to work, undo the affliction, confess your sin, repent of your sin, turn away from the things that are not right before God that are written in His Word. Honor the King. All right, so this is what we do. I believe God is serious. I really do. I actually believe that God is very, very, very serious and that He wants to talk to us. And speaking of wanting to talk to us, I've got a call coming in right now, and I'm going to take that call coming in from area code 858-864-8714. And I do want to open the telephone lines up right now to anybody that wants to weigh in on this conversation. Patricia Joy, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you, and good morning to you. And we have one more day to get it right. Hallelujah. But what you're speaking of is this moment we're granted to get it right, to understand how we ought to be in the days in which we're in right now. And what you were speaking of in the destruction of this earth is right at hand. I mean, it can happen at any moment. It could happen in any year. But in Luke 21:26, as you have read, men's hearts are failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so if you are aware of those things which are coming on the earth, then you will not be operating in fear, but in power and in faith, because the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now, some believe we're going to be gone and it won't cause us any problems, but we're very close to it even right now, and I don't see anybody raptured as of yet. But in the scripture of 21, Luke 21, it says, "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies," body of Christ, we're seeing that right now. Jerusalem is slowly but surely being encompassed or compassed with armies. "Then know that the desolation thereof is nigh," close by. And then it goes on to say, "Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains." We are asking to be prepared for those in Israel to flee to the mountains. That's a call of preparation and knowledge to know what to do. "And let them which are in the midst of Israel depart out. And let not them that are in the country enter thereinto." And a lot of people want to enter into Israel right now. We have to really be wise in what we choose to do. Because the Lord goes on and says, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." They will be fulfilled. It even goes on to say, "But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land." Now, we have been warned, and in 36 of Luke, "Watch ye therefore, and pray." And this is what we're to do. We're to watch. We are to be watchmen on the wall. "And therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Now, if we are already going to be escaped and raptured up, why would we pray that we would be worthy to escape all these things if that's already going to be a fact? So let me tell you one more time what the scripture says. God himself is speaking. He's speaking, not man. And he is saying, "Watch ye, therefore, and pray always that you and I may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." This might be a text that we really need to look into. The foundation for this hour, and the reason we exist in this time. So we must look at it.
Well, amen. Well said, Patricia Joy Xavier. No doubt about that. Patricia, I have a prophecy in front of me, a real prophecy, I believe, but the people need to be the judge of that. We've heard so much of that through the years, but I want to share something that I think will be an encouragement to the people that are tuning into this particular broadcast on Monday morning. And I know tomorrow you're going to be hosting your Deliverance Roundtable discussion live right here on Blog Talk Radio. By the way, are we still broadcasting on Omega Radio right now? We should be. The Omega Radio
ORG.
We are good.
Yes.
All right. So let me just read this word that the Lord has given. And it begins this way. The day has come that my glory shall be manifested forth in all the earth. His glory. I have spoken to you of judgment, and so shall it be, but I have not appointed you, my beloved, to wrath, my wrath. And now I know that you have obeyed my voice and have turned from your wicked ways, and so I shall show you that glory that has been destined to come. I will reveal my nature to the nations through my militant, triumphant church. I will express my glory through that which is in the exact image of who I am. I will extol myself through my people in this day, and I will demonstrate the quality of my power and love. I will lift up the humble and set him on high, and I will exalt every valley in this day. I will rejoice over my beloved with delightful songs and merciful abundance. I will heal the wound of my people, and I will take the cup out of the hand of my overcomers and put it into the hand of those who have opposed them. I will sing the song of love over my spotless one, who is blameless and without fault before my presence. I have glory. I have glory to deposit into vessels that have been prepared. I am depositing overflowing measures of my glory into the new wineskins. This glory is the new wine that has been transformed by the breath of my mouth. This new wine I am releasing is being poured out to the nations, and the nations will rejoice and declare that they have been never known such good wine. They will declare that this new wine is heavenly and will wonder where it has come from. The water pots are those who have had the nature of the first man, but I have taken them into my service and have prepared them from the inside out. These are the containers in which my miracle working power will reside. Those who drink this wine will be forever changed. A merry heart will be given to those who drink. Great joy and liberation do I declare, says the Lord, who is over all and above all. Great dances of freedom shall resound through the streets, and the parades of men will cease in the presence of those who dance. I am raising up the dance. I am calling forth the dancers of the new millennium. I am calling forth the worshipers to fill the streets with worship. I am releasing my glory through vessels of worship. Yes, beloved, you have been appointed to life, and life you shall receive, even a double portion, an abundant life that shall never end. For I have clothed you with the robes of an indestructible priesthood. I have placed with you the anointing of Melchizedek. I have given you a name that is above all names in the earth. I have lifted you up out of your dark season, and I have brought you forth into the marvelous light. Listen, hear the song of the Lord. Listen, hear the voice of the bride. Listen, hear the voice of the Spirit. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And quickly I shall come, suddenly, like a thief in the night, to those who are in the darkness. But to you who walk in the light, I will come with splendor and majestic glory. I am, and there is no other. I am God, and I will have my way, and I will accomplish that what I have started. For I am the author and finisher of all things, and I am authorizing the finishing of all things. I have written the book, and it is I who win the end. I shall be victorious over all. I am the all ruler, and my will is irresistible. I will accomplish what is in my heart. You, my beloved, are in my heart, and I will finish the work that I have begun in you, and I will bring you into my chambers and there fill you with my glory. Let the mockers beware. Let the scoffers keep silent, for I come out of my holy habitation to judge the earth. Let the earth keep silent and let my beloved look up, for my redemption is loosening, melting away, breaking and dissolving every curse, every bondage, everything that has restrained and withheld that which can be resisted no more. It is my universal glory that is being released, and it flows through the nations. Watch the increase of glory. Look for the works that I have done while in the earth to be duplicated and doubled in their effect. This is no show, and I am not seeking the admiration of men, but I have a plan to take my people into everlasting life, and I will draw many into the kingdom through the miracles I am releasing. That which is not of me shall not deceive the elect in the earth. The magicians and false prophets will be swallowed up by the true work of my spirit, and I will be glorified. This is what the Lord says to his beloved and those who have ears to hear. Patricia Joy Xavier, I believe that in the midst of the greatest crises, there is an opportunity, for this is what it means, a Kairos moment. Opportunity in the midst of a crisis. The prophet Isaiah said that gross darkness shall cover the people, but the glory of God shall rise upon his people. A same day, one day, a day of glorious light, another day of glorious darkness. The same day, glorious light, gross darkness. Glorious light, gross darkness. The question is, dear saints of God, what side of the day are you on? Go ahead, Patricia Joy.
I must ask, husband, had you written that? Is that a prophetic word that you have done?
Yes, it is. I wrote that in 2003.
My goodness, how it fulfills the moment we're in, and how it fulfills our ministry of new wine, our new wine ministry church. I need to praise God for that, and we need to get that out. It has to go viral. And I tell you this, we are going to make copies, and we're going to put them in various places. It is something that is so encouraging for the times we're in, that was written by the hand of God through a prophetic utterance through you. I want to do something about that, and I hope others that are listening will also do so. It needs to go on Facebook also.
And Patricia, the point is of reading that is what our listeners need to understand with our friends and family in the body of Christ that are tuning into this particular radio broadcast. I know there's thousands of them all over the world. What we need to know is the balance. We need to understand what time it is. This is not a time to be afraid and to be offended and unforgiving and walking in the flesh. This is a time for God's people to rise up in the spirit, to dance and rejoice, to worship the living God in the face of the adversity and in the face of the prophetic word that God is bringing. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. It's going to happen. But that does not mean that God's true ecclesia, the called out ones, are going to be caught in all that stuff. We need to be right now in the spirit, worshiping God, praising God. I believe this is the most important thing that I could imagine. We have another call coming in. Let me take this call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, this was quite a prophetic word that was given to you in that year. That was very good. I'd like to attain one of them myself to share with others in this area. But now I was going to ask and just bring out something. And, you know, David, the psalmist, I've been reading a lot in the book of Psalms. And, you know, he asked God, according to Psalms 139, he asked God, he said, "Oh God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." So, you know, when we do that, it could be pretty dangerous, because God will put the spotlight on us, but it's for our own good. And you know, it comes to me, we are going to be tried. So we go through this process of even, is our love for God and others really true? And is our loyalty and our humility? It's all going to be put to the test. But, you know, I'm believing that this glorious church that God has created for will be used mightily. But we've got God's trying to bring us into this pure gold so he can be glorified through his on this earth. So as we have to guard our own hearts and our minds and our souls from all evil, and then we carry the love through of God in these dark days, because it is dark and it's getting darker. But I believe that this is the answer to the need of our country and all the countries of the world, really.
Amen. Well said, and thank you for that. Those comments are precious to us. And yes, the big tests are on the way. There's no doubt about it, but this is the test. This is how you pass the test. You have no unforgiveness in your heart. You have no bitter resentment in your soul anymore. You have no roots of bitterness. You have nothing left in you but the love of God flowing out of you. You know what's going to happen in this world. God's word has declared it. You cannot stop it. You cannot interfere with it. You could warn people and tell them there is a refuge. There is a salvation. There is a Savior that loves you all together. Patricia, I'm down to like seconds. I think I'm even overdue, but a final word from you.
Thank you so much. What is being said about love is absolutely necessary. Love is the fulfillment in all things for our lives and for all who call upon the name of the Lord. So let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth, brothers and sisters. It's imperative that we be clothed with the cloth of purity and holiness, which is the basis of love. And we just give praise and honor to God for these moments that we can agree together to love one another in spirit and in truth.
Amen. And if anybody out there is interested in getting the prophetic word that I wrote, I actually read two of them this morning, one at the beginning of the broadcast and one at the end. If you want a copy of that, just make sure you contact me at my email address, and that's V Xavier. V-X-A-V-I-E-R, 777 at gmail.com. That's vxavier777@gmail.com. I'll make sure I send you a copy to your email report there. And also, right now, when we say goodbye on Omega Radio, that's www.omegaradio.org, omegaradio.org, there is a roundtable discussion where Patricia is having a conversation with a number of people about deliverance. You may want to get in there and listen to that. And then, of course, on Omega Radio, we're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is your internet radio station for these end times. That's why we called it the Omega, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. These are the last days. Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could be tuned into Omega Radio. We'd love your support. We'd love you to subscribe to our New Wine Ministry TV channel on YouTube. We are live on YouTube every day, Monday through Friday. New Wine Ministry TV is our channel. You could find us every day there, Monday through Friday. We'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow and a special edition tomorrow at 10 o'clock, right after our 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Patricia Joy will be going live in her deliverance out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I hope you'll share all this information with your friends and family. We are standing on the wall, and we are watching out for you, and we're declaring the things that we see coming down the pike. So right now, I turn you over to Omega Radio. It is live. Goodbye, Omega Radio audience, and goodbye, Blog Talk Radio, and our friends on YouTube. Here is Patricia Joy Xavier and Roundtable Discussion on the Omega Radio Network. And goodbye, everybody, for now in Blog Talk land and on YouTube land. Shalom.